What's up, AfterBuzzers? You know what it is, another episode of Hell's Kitchen. Crossword puzzles in the kitchen. We're going to find out why next. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Fire. Fire.
This dancing keeps me out of parties. That's why I don't get invited.
Frank doesn't get invited to parties. This should be the party starter right here, right?
It's the party ender right there. This comes in, party stops.
What's up, everybody? Hell's Kitchen, another episode. We were off last week, but we are back. Super excited to be here. I am your host, as always, Lim Gonzalez. You can find me at The Poet Saint everywhere on social media. Next to me is my main man, Mr. Frank Moran.
That's right, folks. You can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. I know we were off last Monday. Lem and I, we did a little hot tub time. You know, watched the World Series. It was good stuff.
You know what? Here we go with this hot tub garbage. Oh, man. We're missing our sister girl, Robin McSweeney. She's in Hawaii.
Must be rough.
So rough. I feel like she like takes a trip like every other week.
Yes.
Like it's Hawaii, Jamaica, like, I mean, you know, Antarctica. She was down there like a couple months ago. Like it's crazy. She's all over the place.
I gotta get on this B-Stay busy lifestyle.
B-Stay is busy.
Yeah.
You know what it is. But we are not alone. We do have another female presence here over the phone. It is none other than Hell's Kitchen. She's on this season. She was eliminated, unfortunately, episode 3. Super excited. I'm still crying inside my heart. Miss Jessica Lynn Boynton. Jessica, what's up, lady?
Hi. How are you?
We are doing great. How are you?
I'm doing amazing.
Doing amazing.
Super excited to be on the show. Excited to be on the show today.
Yes, we're excited to have you. Really excited to have you. Jessica, as I mentioned before, was on early in the season, Eliminate Episode 3. Let's talk about that real quick because this was like a super, super immature, I think, release of a contestant. I feel like you definitely weren't ready to go. I didn't think, you know, that you did a bad job. I think, you know, of course, the powers that be, you know, it is on these shows. You know, they try to go after the person that, you know, they feel like they can get out of there. Take us back to that. What was that feeling like? You're there, you end up going up for elimination, and then he says you're the one going home. What's going on?
Well, I mean, there was a lot going on. I was disappointed in the girls at first because I did go back and ask them to reconsider. Since I only did mess up on one pasta, and they also know,
right?
So that was kind of heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So then from there, I was like, oh my god, I'm going home because these people don't like me, and I don't know why they don't like me, but they just don't like me, and I'm going home.
And I'm going home,
Jessica. Though, why? Oh, just tell me, why did you pack?
Yes.
Why did you pack?
That was the cardinal sin. That was the cardinal sin.
I packed because I kind of knew that it was. I was going home. I knew.
But it's
It was the end of my run. But and a lot of it was because of the girls. When I did go back before I started packing, I did go back and I asked them to reconsider, and they all said no. And so I kind of knew from that point that I was going home.
It was it. Now, of course, you kept saying you were going home.
I mean,
but,
of course.
Right. There's two people that were that are put up.
The boys already hated me.
Well, of course.
The men hated me already.
Right. Yes, yes. But there's two people that are up for elimination. And it looked like, of course, we know, and you know, we've done this several times when our reality shows work. There's a lot of editing that goes on. But obviously, when you were up there, and it was you, and I can't remember who you were up against. Yeah. Who were you? Okay, right.
I was up against Gia.
And so you're there, and you almost seemed defeated as you were kind of giving your, like, you know, when he asked you, you know, how do you feel about staying in Hell's Kitchen? What makes you better than the other person? And you kind of seemed already defeated. Is that the case? Had you given up at that point because you felt like you already?
I didn't give up. I was more disappointed in how everything was being played out.
Ah, okay, okay.
Because I didn't know what happened in the kitchen that night. I didn't know until I actually saw the episode.
Oh my gosh, really? Ah, because you were out doing the table side, right?
I was out doing table side. Ah. And so I did. That's part of the other reason why I asked for a reconsideration, because I didn't know what happened. Mm. I didn't know that fish failed and apps failed and the whole damn kitchen failed. I didn't know any of that.
Right.
All I knew was that my pasta dish was the straw that broke the camel's back, and he sent us out of the kitchen. That's all I knew. So I took that responsibility.
Got it.
I was like, okay, well, my dish sent us out of the kitchen without knowing everything else that happened.
Got it.
So that's kind of that's how it all played out. And then when he asked if I was ready to go home, and I did say no. And I did tell him I could unpack. But at the same time, I told him, I was like, you know what? I can unpack. But I didn't also know that Matt packed that day.
I didn't
know any of this happened.
I was
completely clueless.
So you said Matt packed as well? Matt packed on the blue team?
Yes.
Really?
Matt packed on the blue team, yes.
Oh, wow. Interesting. But they weren't up for elimination, so it wasn't, you know, a choice that he was going to be sent home. But you're basically saying he was kind of in the same boat you as far as, like, how you felt concerning how everything went down, correct? Got it.
But Jessica, I also want...
As far as what I saw on the episode, like I said, I didn't know anything that happened that day except the fact that we won the challenge and we got to go, and then we lost dinner service.
Got it. And that was it. That's all you knew.
That was it. That's all I knew.
Now, Jessica, I wonder...
We're busy in the kitchen prepping.
When it comes to whoever gets eliminated and they have to leave and they don't pack, I assume production goes in, grabs all their stuff, and gives it to them after they're out of the kitchen, out of the restaurant.
Yeah. So production actually sits and waits.
Yes.
And when he says they're... Yes, they sit in the thing and they wait, and then they run and they gather up all the stuff that they know that person had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So then why even pack? Why even pack? What statement does that make that only is a sign of weakness?
She was like, she wanted to make sure that all her stuff was taken. She's like, no, I don't want production packing my stuff.
I
got it. My penguin I brought here. I've had since I was 6 years old. They're not leaving it here. I got it.
I should have tucked my clothes out of the suitcases and just shoved it up under everything so they had to find everything.
That's what you should have done. I mean, I think.
I should have done that. Yeah. Think about that.
The way it looked to me, and you could help me out, when you guys were deliberating, it seemed like you were just willing to own up for your mistake with, you know, what happened, what your part of it. And I think, and because obviously it's so early too, because this is only the third episode, it's like they're trying to
get
everyone. Right. And I think it was a situation.
I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know what happened. So
I felt
bad. Like, I honestly, when I owned my mistake that night, I felt bad. Because I'm like, holy shit.
Right.
I'm the reason why we're out of the kitchen.
Right.
I didn't know.
Got it.
That Wellingtons were overdone and that Gia hurt.
All the other stuff that went
Heather
down.
And Kit. Yeah, I didn't know any of that.
Got it.
I didn't find that out until I actually got to watch the episode. And I'm like...
Wow.
Holy crap, all this happened.
Got it.
And so then I was, because some of us do still talk. So I talk to the girls that I do talk to, and I'm like, why did y'all say anything? I would have not done what I did if I knew that.
Right.
From their point, there's like, somebody's willing to put themselves out.
Exactly.
I'm going to be quiet.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say that I messed up.
Right. And I think that's exactly what happened. And as I was trying to say earlier, I think you were just a nice person and just like, hey, I made this mistake. Whatever happens, if it's my fault, then I'll go up type thing. And they just kind of took that and ran with it. And no one else basically had your back. It seems like what happened.
I was looking for respect too, because you know what? Look, I own my mistake.
Right.
Well, obviously, you know, who else is going to own their mistake?
And no one else did. No one else did. So that's the rule number one of if you're going to be on another cooking challenge show, do not own up to your mistakes. Because what's going to happen is if you do, you're going to go home. That's basically what's going to happen.
Yeah. Number two, if you do own your mistake, which you should do no matter what, just unpack. Don't pack.
Right. There you go.
Hide shit everywhere.
Right.
In the refrigerator, in the freezer, under couches, wherever the hell you can go.
Oh, my gosh. So, Jessica, are you watching the episode in the season now as it's unfolding?
I am.
Okay.
Some of it's not a surprise because, as I said, we do talk.
Sure.
Some of it is.
Sure.
I was cheering. I mean, I can't say that I wasn't cheering on the inside when I saw episode 4 and what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to some of the girls, and I'm like, God, she was really that bad.
Right.
And who knew?
Right, right. Do you have, I know you said you talked to some of the girls, and I'm sure you probably know the outcome of the show, but do you have, just for yes. our purposes, do you have, like, someone that you were really close to, a favorite on the show that you really liked and you maybe, you know, bonded with while you were there?
I really liked Heidi.
Heidi, okay.
I still talk to Heidi.
Okay.
Yep. And I also talk to Kim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kim. Okay.
Those
okay.
are the two that I talked to. And then on the guys' team, I talked to a couple.
Okay.
I talked to Devin. And I actually go and visit him sometimes down in Charleston when I'm down there.
Oh, you guys are both? Charleston's only
3 hours. Yeah.
Really close.
Oh, yeah. It's 3 hours from where I live.
So. Oh, okay. Nice.
And then Coop. I also talked to Coop through Facebook and stuff.
Nice. Cool.
Well, Jessica, you were eliminated in episode 3, and so the season's gone on since then. But as somebody that was kind of in the season to begin with, and you know how editing and everything, as Len was mentioning, it can, you know, just the way we get to experience the show can be a little different than how you live the show.
Yes.
So how is it, as you're watching it now from episodes that you weren't, that have gone on since you've been eliminated, has it, as you've talked to everybody, is there, and that's in the competition, is it pretty much what you're seeing on camera? Is it pretty much true to what the experience was?
Yes and no. I mean, there's a lot that you guys don't see.
Obviously.
And there's a lot that you guys didn't see on why the men actually did hate me.
Because
they truly did hate me.
Yeah,
when
they
Andrew
did.
Said he hated me, when Andrew said he hated me, and Johnny said it, and Polly said it, and they all said it, they truly still hate me.
Which, we talked about this, and I really thought it was super disrespectful the way they talked to you, and they treated you overall, because to me, it wasn't warranted. Yeah. I felt like they were trying to be bullies, and it just was all messed up, and I hated that, and we talked about it on the show here, so I hate that you had to have that experience, because I didn't think it was warranted or justified.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys only got glimpses of how they actually were.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, it was pretty bad. It got pretty bad. And so, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that led up to them doing that, which I can now talk about because I'm off the show.
Right.
First dinner service, I was, I'm the only chef in Hell's Kitchen history to ever go into the men's kitchen, not once, but twice during first dinner service.
Really?
To teach them how to cook fish.
Yes. Oh, is that
right?
You
guys didn't see that.
Oh,
and not only did he pull me into the kitchen to teach them how to cook scallops and fish, he had them take notes.
What?
Really?
He gave
a couple of them pens and papers and told them the right step-by-step on how to
cook. Oh, they hated you. They hated you. That makes all the sense.
Then... Not only did that happen, second dinner service during the lineup, he made them turn to me during when we did the lineup brigade thing, and he said his thing. He made them all turn to me and tell me thank you for teaching them how to cook fish.
Jeez.
During the first dinner service.
Okay.
So now they really hate me.
Got it. Yeah. Especially those guys.
Second dinner service was my third time in their kitchen. So that was just fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Man.
So, yeah, they hated you. But they hated you.
That still surprised me.
They really did hate me.
If Chef Ramsay thought you were a good enough chef to be over there and instruct the blue team, why cut you after the third episode?
Yeah. I think it was the defeat. I think it was the fact that you had, because of the correlation of everything, not because you had went up, because there was someone else up with you. But I think it seemed like once they kind of threw you under the bus and said, oh, she's Sparty packed. Then I think he looked at it as, you know, he's obviously looking for a head chef for this restaurant. Oh, if you've already packed, you've lost, you know, you're defeated in your mind. So you're not strong enough to be here. Not that you're not a good enough chef, but mentally you're not strong enough. To me, that's what I would think he was probably thinking. And therefore he's like, oh, okay, well that makes it easy for me. I'm going to let you go.
Right. I mean, the cool thing is that I now do because of everything, and he does follow me
on
Twitter and stuff.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
And I'm now doing the kitchen, Hell's Kitchen takeovers, which he's very much a part of.
Okay.
So I'm working with Megan Gills and Christine Wilson. They're the two executive chefs that are directly under him.
Yes, I know Christina.
So I still get to work. Yep. So I still get to work with him without working for him.
Right. That's dope.
Very cool.
That's dope.
Being when you're on the show, when you're eliminated, is that your last interaction with Chef Ramsay until the finale? Or do you, even after you get eliminated, before you go home or anything, do you have a little moment to say goodbye or give any wrap up with him?
Yes, we do. I ended up actually spending a whole week doing final stuff. I personally did not see Ramsay afterwards. Uh-huh. I didn't really see anybody afterwards. Once you're eliminated, you're put in seclusion.
Right, right.
Where you can't interact with anybody.
Right, because of the taping of the show.
You're just doing all your final wrap-up. Yeah, you're just doing all your final wrap-up stuff before they give you a plane ticket and send you home.
Right, right. Well, man, Jessica, thank you so much for shedding that light because we had no idea. And we didn't hear that from any of the other people that we've had on the show thus far. So I'm really glad you
kind of... I'm pretty sure if you had any men, they were not going to admit that.
Yeah, well, we did have some men, but no one said anything. So, I'm glad you brought that to light and let us know what was going on. And I was going to ask you, but you already answered it. You let us know what's going on now. You're with the RIP wrap-up with Hell's Kitchen, which is dope, and still able indirectly working with Gordon Ramsay, which is amazing.
Yep.
You're holding out there. Yep. Are you also working in any restaurant down there in Raleigh, North Carolina, where you live?
I'm training to be the sushi chef for the Cowfish.
Okay.
I'm currently located at the one in Raleigh.
Nice.
They're wanting to... So I have 7 more weeks of training until I officially become the sushi chef.
Okay.
Of the Cowfish in Raleigh for the time being, and then we'll see what goes from there.
Nice.
They're talking about moving me down to Alabama.
Okay.
So I might be opening up that restaurant.
Nice. Look at Jessica. See, it works out.
Nice.
Good people. It works out for good people.
Yeah, Lem will be at your restaurant soon to sample your wares.
I will definitely.
Y'all can come. Anyone can come to my restaurant.
Oh, man.
I don't care.
I would love to.
I'll come out and say hi.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. If I'm out there, I will definitely hit you up, Jessica. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on the show and letting us know what was going on. We're just going to keep watching and rooting and see what happens. But I think I'm glad that everything in the end did work out for you. And looks like you have a lot going on. So kudos to you. And we will talk to you later.
Thanks so much, Jessica.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Have a good one.
Man,
Jessica,
look at that.
That's dope.
But I almost feel like that. It's like Ramsay set her up just to get scorned by the blue team. Like sending in 3 times instructions and then also giving her pencil and paper and then making them thank her.
That was messed up. That was messed up. But again, I believe this, and I said this before, the fact that she packed her bags.
Yes.
It's a mental thing because I feel like that happens with a lot of contestants. It's not how well you can cook because, again, you're going to be a head chef. So it's really more about managerial, how you can manage, manage people, how you can, work on a brigade, how you can, how people do what they do. Of course, you got to lead by example as well. So you got to be able to cook. But I think if you don't have the mental toughness, then I think that's when it's like, nah, you can't do this. And I think that a lot of people, they can cook well, but mentally they just shut down. They end up missing their family, whatever the case is. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you're gone. I can't deal with you anymore. And I think that was her.
I could agree. I completely buy that.
Yeah.
But there's part of me that's like, even though we didn't get to see that,
right?
Ramsay had to know the way the blue team was treating her towards that.
Well, yeah,
and I would think that would factor in his decision at the end. Like, does he want somebody from the blue team that behaved like that running one of his kitchens?
Right.
I don't know.
No, I don't think he would either. But again, if she would not have packed her bags, I think she would have still been there.
Oh,
she probably would have still been here.
But I feel like Ramsay, he's got to keep that in his back pocket so that anybody from the blue team got down to blackjack, got down to the final two. That's got to weigh a little bit into it, don't you think?
Well, I think so. But also, it's only going to be one winner. So if you think somebody doesn't have it that early in the game, then it's like, might as well cut your losses now. and see how people develop. Because people can grow. People can start off shaky and they can grow. I've seen people that didn't do well that end up, you know, top two, you know, but they didn't do well at the beginning. But I think because of where she was and because she kind of just let all that get to her with the hazing, with, you know, her teammates trying to get her, because she was strong.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, you want to get the strong out of there. So that would make sense. She's getting on both ends. So she probably was just like, you know what, you're going to send me home? Fine. I'm out of here. So she was already gone, like one foot out the door type thing. And she was like, you can't be like, oh, unpack. No, it's not going to work. I knew that's not going to work. I know that ain't going to work. That is not going to fly. So
Jessica aside, blue team, the way they just react, it seems in those moments, their tactic is hazing. Hazing mm-hmm. the red team.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a behavior you want in a head chef, that somebody has that? Or are you willing to, like, let that go because it's the heat of the competition, people react a little differently in that environment?
This is my thing with this show. I don't think it gets really serious with competition until it's the Black Jackets, which is the top six. So I think up until that point, it's survival of the fittest. Again, I think anyone up to that point, if you don't put it like this, anyone that's on the top six deserve to be there. I don't think they get there by happenstance. I don't think they get there by bullying. I don't think they get there by sabotaging someone else. I think they deserve to be there. So I feel like everyone else are just casualties of the competition. And so if, you know, this person bullies this person and they can't take the pressure and they end up getting eliminated or it affects their cooking, then they just weren't strong enough. And so I don't think they were going to make it anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can understand that. But by the same token, would you want to keep somebody in that is a hazer? That is kind of like trying to be...
No, I don't think that's right, but I think that's also part of the game, and that's part of the show. We know this is a reality show
yeah.
at the end of the day, and they want ratings. So that kind of stuff is going to be, I don't want to say welcomed, but you see they film it. You see they, when that kind of stuff happens, it brings drama to the show. It's Hell's Kitchen.
True. Do you think the way the blue team reacted, though, because even we were like, man, they were just so rough on her.
Yeah.
I feel like now knowing, like, there's all of a sudden, like, Ramsey kind of steered it towards that direction.
Well,
I feel like we're missing a little bit of that.
I don't think
puzzle,
he, well, I think it was up to them. I will say this. And I'm glad she pointed out what she said about them, you know, helping, you know, having to help them and then them taking notes. I think it's one of those things where there was probably the worst that I've seen someone attack someone else, the way they ganged up on her. But they didn't just gang up on her. They ganged up on other people as well.
Very true.
So it wasn't just her. I can see how that spawned it, and that was made her a target because she was helping them. But indirectly, they were just trying to break her down. If she was stronger mentally, she would have been like, whatever. Or I'm going to bed or whatever. Yeah. But she did let it get to them. I'm not saying that what they did was right at any place. And we've already talked about this, that it was like messed up what they did. Very wrong. I was upset, you know, seeing them do that because I think it's weak on their part. This is what you have to do to keep people up. You have to talk about them. You have to, you know what I'm saying? But I think if she was stronger or tougher mentally, I think she and let it go and not let it get to her, she would have still been there because she obviously was superior.
And speaking of people that didn't let it get to him too much, this mm-hmm. episode, Devin. He kind of held strong this episode.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. Speaking of Devin, when they were kind of doing, you know, going back and forth, well, he was asleep.
that's it. You just pulled your movie. It's like, you just go to sleep. Drama gets
but it really, but I mean, and that's the thing. And they tried to get it. They tried to pin it on him. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no grilled cheese or whatever. And he's like, wait a second. I had the one. And they're like, oh, we all discuss it. I didn't discuss it.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
was I at? Well, you were asleep. Well, then I'm not taking that.
Yeah.
But see, he's mentally tough, you know, to be able to withstand that. Yes, he still got put up. But at the end of the day, he wasn't defeated. And I think that's the difference between him and someone like Jessica, who I think was mentally defeated and was just like, okay, whatever, you know, type thing. Probably, you know, again, in hindsight, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but that's what it was at that point. And we all know that it's tough, you know.
Yeah.
We've heard and we've talked to contestants before several times, and they say it's, you know, it's not your normal situation. It's very tough in that kitchen. And because it's so tough, a lot of times you'll do things mentally that you, you know, you break down.
Yeah.
You know, because of the pressure. And that's why you see people doing stuff like Aziza cooking all these garnishes and there's not even no proteins like ready. Like none of the main dishes are ready. She's like, I got all these going. He's like, but there's nothing ready. What are you doing? But you think like, oh, you think I get ahead of the game, and then it ends up backfiring on you.
Yeah.
And so people end up doing that.
Because I feel like you can be an incredibly talented cook, but for whatever reason, this moment of time, you're mm-hmm. not ready for a head chef position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think that's completely, and that's why I say, going back to when it gets to the Black Jackets, I think that's when it's a real competition. I think all of this is part of the show, and obviously you have to shine and have to do well, but ultimately, when it's Black Jackets, it's independently. And really, it is all every man for themselves at that point, as it should be, because it's only one position. It's not a team position. Mm-hmm. It's not which team is going to make it. It's only one person. So at that point, I think that's when everybody shines. You can't rely on anyone else. Kind of doubling back a little bit, just to kind of go over, the challenge was the Hell's Kitchen Library, which I think was kind of fresh. They had to put up kind of like crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
Kind of they each had a protein up and then kind of stemmed, you know, different ingredients to go along with that. Basically, the blue team had, you know, steak or ribeye, and then the red team had chicken. And they kind of went back and forth with that. So it was kind of a lot of the similar type because they had the similar ingredients, but it was like who stood out. I was really interested because I thought that, you know, the first one that went up with blue team was Paulie. He had a ribeye with crab stuffed okra. I thought it looked amazing when he put it up, but yeah. Chef Ramsay would not.
when he
started into it. Because, I mean, initially I'm like, crab stuffed okra? That sounds bomb, you know. Yeah. But it was terrible. He got a one. You know, Devin did probably one of the best with the ribeye with lump crab.
And Andrew was so certain that he was going to bomb.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
He's like, oh, that sounds terrible. I'm not going to tell him because I want him to bomb.
Right, exactly. And he ended up getting it, too.
Yeah.
He didn't have no size. And he's a steak. He's like, a steak man.
Would you just get? I don't want just a steak. You always want a size with a steak.
Exactly.
Like, what's the deal?
Exactly. No, he was terrible. And I think that, to me, it's going to come down to, because he's the one that he just thinks he's so good. I think he's going to continue being, you know, like, you know, declining, because here he didn't do well. Mm-hmm. It's not like he did the best in dinner service. I mean, he was okay. He didn't have any mess ups like some of the other people, but these challenges, he's not really standing out.
No.
This is, I feel like, the third or fourth challenge that he just did not do well.
Same thing with Johnny,
too.
He
did not do well.
He consistently does poorly.
Yeah, did not do well. So I think it's going to haunt him. The red team, Kimberly and Heidi, both got fours. They did pretty good. They kind of ragged on Shannon a little bit because she picked chicken, but then, and she ended up, her cooking, she did Southern Fried. She only got a one.
Yeah.
It was bad. So they were really upset. Kimberly was kind of getting on. They kind of got into it back and forth, you know, in regards to that. I want to know where those bumper cars are.
Oh, yeah.
On ice. Do you know where that was?
I don't know where that was.
But I want to find that. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up because it's out here in L.A. I want to look that up and find out where that was.
And one last thing, too, real quick. Usually on those challenges where there's always like one team has more than the other and they have to eliminate one of the dishes to go into the challenge.
Right.
There's always somebody that's always like ticked off because like, I had a really good dish.
Exactly.
Aziz was like, no, that's fine.
And it looked undercooked.
Yeah.
It looked pink. It was like, this looks terrible. Like, it looked really bad.
I saw somebody like, yep, that's a good idea, man. Don't put this up.
No, it looked really bad. It looked really bad. So the blue team ended up winning. They got to do the bump cars on ice and then go to a steakhouse. Red team had to decorate the kitchen for family night.
With Marino's like a terrible pratfall with the crayons.
Terrible.
Like
that was terrible.
Come
that was
on.
Terrible. That was terrible. And this is when we see actually the guys later on, right before dinner service. It was late at night. And they had a powwow to determine how the elimination was going to work. And it was all of them, with the exception of our boy, Devin, that was asleep. Yeah. I agree with what the decision they made. I don't agree with how they determined the decision. Everyone should have been present, and you know, they're trying to form this little clique, you know, which I think is going to backfire eventually. It is going to backfire. It is helping them now, but it will backfire eventually. Cause again, I think, Andrew is really going to continue to not do well. That's my prediction early. So when dinner service happens, we see the blue team sends out ungrilled cheese, is what I like to call it. It was like meat. It was like cheese and bread.
That was so crazy. Like when you open it up and it just looked like just a slice of
it. It was terrible looking.
What? How did you think that was done?
It's grilled. How do you mess up grilled cheese?
Yes. You should be able to tell it's melted.
Like
easily.
Grilled cheese though. We're talking grilled. Yes. The easiest thing that you can make.
Oh,
grilled cheese.
Oh my gosh.
Like you learn that in college. No. You learn that in elementary school. Like when you gotta, you know, like, what am I going to eat? Oh, I can grill cheese.
Yeah.
Like really. Shayna sends up pizza with raw dough. Aziza cooks the garnishes early, which we mentioned earlier. Polly sends up a raw burger. Wendy sends up raw lamb. So both kitchens are kind of, you know, going back and forth with doing things that aren't good, right? Heather sends up raw salmon. So
the 27th time, skin side down. Bam.
I know that. I'm just saying. And yeah, I'm not a cook, but you know, I know that. Just saying. So because both teams did poorly, which I kind of predicted, both teams lost. So they both had to, you know, find someone to put up two people. And so that's when we see Devin fighting for his life because they're trying to put him up for the grilled cheese situation. But they just go hard on him. Oh, and yeah. He's, you know, he's standing his ground. He's like, nah, I wasn't part of this meeting. What are you talking about? You know, there's other things that happen. And he's basically, I think he was the one that advocated. He's like, yo, we need to look at everything, not just dinner service, but we look like the challenges, which I think is well. And that's why if they start doing that, that's when I think Andrew's going to, you know, start getting put on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing good on the challenges. Not at all. So elimination happens. They end up going with Polly and Devin on the blue team, which I kind of figured. And then Aziza and Wendy on the red team. And as soon as I saw Aziza up there, I'm like,
yeah.
Curtains.
I mean, she already bailed on the challenge
part. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Step aside. I can't do it.
She already bailed on the challenge, didn't do well, dinner service. And I think we even predicted this. I think she's been struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, for a while. So I think we predicted that she was going to want to go next, especially if it, you know, so the red team that ended up getting voted in. So in this particular time, she got sent up. Aziza went home. Like I said, no surprise. I think she's, you know, I think she's a nice person. She's mother of four. but it was messed up. Oh, he said, he's like, she needs to go back to her kids, but not cook for them. Yeah. Like, I was like, dang, Chef Ramsay, really? You got to really do it like that? That's kind of messed up. So anyway, but I think overall, I'm not mad who went home. I think it was just a, you know, whatever episode. I think there wasn't any crazy drama that we've seen. I think they're saving that for next episode, which you saw in the previews. Like, yeah, the ambulance comes.
Coop, are you ever going to wake up?
Coop's looking bad. He's looking bad. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. There's also kind of, we're going to see, it looks like more of that rift with Shayna and Kimberly. They're getting into it a little bit more. That's kind of starting a little feud on the red team. It's interesting, I think, just as a whole with this season that, and I think I've said this before, usually it's like one or the other of the teams are kind of front runners. Mm-hmm. Like either the red team is just killing everybody or the blue team is killing everybody. I feel like the last several seasons it's been the red team for the most part. It like goes back and forth.
Yeah, I felt like this episode you start seeing the red team kind of breaking down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Shayna, I don't know what's going on with her, but she's kind of on a little decline right now.
But nobody's consistent. Like, no. In the challenges, nobody's consistent. And in dinner service, nobody's consistent.
I'll put Heidi and Ryan for the red team.
As far as...
Inconsistency.
Okay, I'm not talking about individual people.
Gotcha.
I'm talking about team-wise. Yeah,
I would agree.
Like, they're losing, and then they win the next time. And they're losing the next time, they win at dinner service. It's the same thing. That's what I mean. So the teams are not consistent. They do have consistent people, I think, on both teams. But ultimately, as a team, they're not functioning. I think, like you said, I agree that the red team is kind of on a decline. Because they were, I think they did work better than the blue team worked, you know. But I think that they are definitely on a decline, and we'll kind of see how it goes forward, because if they continue arguing, it's not going to be good for them.
Just real quick, your idea. Which team is going to have somebody move over to the other team, and who do you think it'll be?
Interesting. I think...
thank you.
Thanks, James.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. All right, so official predictions. I think that... I think Shayna. I think Shayna is going to be the one that, if he does move someone, I think he's going to move her over to the blue team. If he moves somebody from the red team, I think she's strong, because usually if he does move somebody, they're usually strong, but maybe they're having an issue with, you know, their teammates, or he wants to put him over there because that other team is suffering really bad and he wants to put a strong person over there. So I think with her, I think she's kind of, I think she's one of the better ones. She's obviously at the top half. But I think with these issues that are going to be coming up, and it seems like it's not going to change, I feel like she would be the one to move over. If it was somebody from the red team, I actually think it would be Andrew.
I think Andrew,
if he sent somebody from the blue team, it would be Andrew. But again, that would only be if the red team was suffering, which, again, I mean, there's no, like, really, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, going back to what I said earlier, there's no one's a front runner. So no one's, like, really losing really bad. And I know he did that in previous seasons when, let's say, one team was doing really, really bad. He would put a strong person from the other team on that team because they just kept losing people. So I don't see that happening here. But if he did switch, those would be my ones.
I would agree with you with Andrew. Red team, I would actually see blue team suffering. He takes Ryan, puts him on there. It's like you guys need a strong leader. Ryan, get over there.
Okay,
show him how it's done. So really? I could see Ryan and Andrew swapping.
Interesting. See, I think if Ryan went to the blue team, I think it would like be devastating for the red team. I think because I think she probably is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, on the red team. So that would be interesting if he did that. That would mean like, yo, you guys need to get it together. I think they would like Ryan to be over there because I think they all favor her.
Yeah.
So as far as gelling together, I think she would work well with them. You know, her personality is kind of like, you know, it's kind of even keel. Like she doesn't go up here really low. So I think that would work well with the men. I think anybody strong, like if Shayna was to go over there, I think they would butt heads immediately because Shayna has a strong personality.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting, but we'll see. We will see. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been our episode. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you all those in the live chat. I'm sorry we didn't get to you today, to your questions, but make sure you continue doing that. Like I said, we were out last week, but thank you so much for joining us this week. No more World Series, so nope. We don't have to worry about any breaks anymore. Also want to send a thank you to Jessica Lynn Boynton, holding it down and calling us and giving us the 411. On what went on behind the scenes. We appreciate always, and the fans appreciate it. Let us know what's going on. We will have a guest next week as well, so make sure you tune in next week and see who that is. And we'll have our girl Robin back.
Yes.
Yeah, with the female energy, holding it down, making pretty much just, you know, you two together, then get on me. So that's literally really what happens.
That's right.
But it's all good, you know, because I got that thick skin. You know what I'm saying? I'm Lim Gonzalez, your host. As always, you can find me at The Poet Saint all day, every day on all social media. Frank Moran, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Make sure to check out the unedited link for the show to find out. You can see all the footage of Lem begging me to get in a hot tub. It'll happen, and he's going to pretend that it doesn't, but that unedited footage exists. We'll show it to you right there.
This dude, I can't with him. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week. Have a great night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.